Okay. Well, you know, it never ceases to amaze me. I don't know why it does, because it shouldn't. But it never ceases to amaze me how God organizes a service. And that entire song selection was perfect today for my message. So thank you, guys. It was awesome. Because today we're going to talk about the joy of the Lord. And so we're going to start with, just read through Nehemiah chapter 8, beginning with verse 1. And I've chosen to use the NIV this time. And so I'll read the whole passage, and then we'll talk about it a little bit and take it from there. So all the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra, the teacher of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra, the priest, brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon. Just picture this. As he faced the square before the water gate, in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. Ezra, the teacher of the law, stood on a high wooden platform built for the occasion. Beside him on his right stood Mattathiah, Shema, and Ananiah, and all these other ayahs. And on his left were some more of them. And in verse 5, just for time's sake, I'm passing over the names, okay? Ezra opened the book. All the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, the people all stood up. And just picture this, you know? There would have been hundreds or thousands of people there. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, "Amen! Amen!" And then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Wouldn't that be awesome? If we got up here and opened up the book and everybody stood up and went, "Amen!" And then bowed down and worshiped God. Stranger things have happened. Verse 7. The Levites, Jeshua, Bani, Sherebiah, Jamin, and all of them, instructed the people in the law why the people were standing there. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, "This is holy. This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep," for all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks." Oh my goodness, sugar. Go and enjoy choice food and sugar. Crazy. "And send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be still, for this is a holy day. Do not grieve." Then all the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food, and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. So let me just give you a little bit of background here. Nehemiah is, you know, God directs Nehemiah to come and help Jerusalem build the wall. This is post-Babylonian captivity. Okay, so they had been in captivity in Babylonia for many, many, many years. And Nehemiah was actually one of the ones that helped, you know, lead or guide people back into Jerusalem when they were free from captivity. And so I think he did that in two or three stages, actually, something like that. So here they are, you know, in Jerusalem, and the wall had been burned with fire. And if you remember, I said a few weeks back that it was like that for, like, you know, nearly 200 years, many years, it was like that. And any effort to build that wall had always come to nothing. But you know, now was the time. And so Nehemiah comes along to rebuild the wall. And so in the process, and I'm not quite sure if at this point the wall was completely up yet. I think it might have been, or they were still building. But in the process of building the wall, they find the scriptures. Now, you got to remember, if they had been in captivity, they didn't have the scriptures. They don't have scriptures like we do. Like, we got Bibles left, right, and center, coming out of stores, coming out of our house, coming out of everywhere in our technology. You know, they didn't have this. Not everybody had the scrolls. So they only heard the word when the word was read to them, you know, on the holy day in the synagogue or whatever, in the tent of meeting, when the word was read to them. They didn't just have it, and they passed it down orally to their children. But when they were in captivity, they wouldn't have been having the word read to them. So you're talking all these people here, most of them probably had never heard the word. All right, so this is new to them. They'd never heard the word, and they're standing up from sun up till midday. You know, we get a bit tired standing for an hour or 45 minutes during worship. They were saying, I'm not slapping hands, okay, because we've got to remember, you know, this was a different time, but I still think there's a lot of room for improvement today. So they were standing up from sun up till midday, listening to the word be read, all right? And then also what would happen there is while Ezra was teaching the word or reading the word, the Levites would go through the crowd. So here they're having, you know, Ezra's up on this big platform and, you know, it's like church, outside church. And so he's reading the word. They worship God, but then they have outside church and they have Ignite groups as well at the same time. Because the Levites go through the crowd and start explaining the scriptures to the people. What is being read, they don't fully understand it. So the Levites go through, and now this is the law that's being read. Now, you know, we're in grace today and what we get to read is wonderful. But the law didn't sound all that wonderful to them. All right, and so they're going through and explaining this to the crowd, and so what happens is the word hits them in the face, and they begin to weep with conviction. So here you have these masses of people who are hearing the word for the first time, and they're thinking, oh, dear Lord, they realize the awesomeness of God. They realize how they've missed it. And like you said, we're not in the age of grace here, but you know, how wonderful is God's grace? Because this was before the sacrifice. This was before Jesus shed his blood, and they were under the law, yet grace comes in and says, hey, wait a minute here. This is a great day. This is holy to the Lord. Don't weep. Don't be discouraged. Don't be depressed. He said, because this is a day holy to God. Don't be grieved. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And Nehemiah, his name actually means comforter of the Lord or the comforter, which is what the Holy Spirit is. So Nehemiah, to them, was the symbol of the Holy Spirit, and it took Nehemiah to build that wall, and it came and it was built in 52 days. Whenever you plug in to the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, things happen in a way that they normally couldn't happen. And so the comforter comes and encourages the people, and things get done and the things get built, and the people get encouraged in the Lord to rejoice in the Lord. So that's just the introduction to this. So we're going to look at this idea of joy and rejoicing in the Lord, because actually joy is a force. Now, when you look up the word joy in the Hebrew there in that book, it actually means elation, exuberation, and excitement. So you think, wow, okay? Elation, exuberation, and excitement. And so it says, if you read it that way, the elation and exuberation and excitement of the Lord, this is what you're getting excited about. They were depressed because of the state they were in, but Nehemiah is saying, no, wait a minute here. The elation and the excitement and the jubilation of our Lord is your strength. And strength there means your defense and your force. All right, so you could say that jubilation of the Lord, it's that excitement that brings that defense and that force in your life, or that fortified place. Joy is a fortified place. I'm telling you, there's something about joy that sets people free. And it's not just, you know, oh, I'm happy today. Like, it's something that comes from the inside. And it's something, the joy that you are facing is that exuberation in the Lord, because you know what he will do. You know the kind of God that he is. You know that he's never failed you in the past. You know that whatever your regrets have been, or your sins have been, or whatever you're going through, you can jubilate and get excited in the Lord, because he is still in control and God still has the answer. And that kind of joy sets people free. If you can just put Hebrews 12 up, verses 1 and 2. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. You know, sometimes you just got to lay the weight aside, and the weights will come, and the temptations will come, and the sins will come. It says, just lay it aside, all those things that ensnare you, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. Sometimes we're spending too much time in the past or what's happening right now, the turmoil, that we're not looking forward to what is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, that's where the excitement comes. Whatever you're going through, you look to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him. Now, when you really get a grip on these words here, the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. Let me tell you, none one of us ever will have to endure what Jesus endured. Nobody will ever have to endure that. No pain will be as great. There will never be anything that's that bad. And yet, he endured it. Why? For the joy. The joy that was set before him. He had this excitement, jubilation, elation of the fact that God was going to raise him from the dead, that he was going to grab the keys to hell and death, and that all authority was going to be given to him and passed down to you, and that he was going to bring many sons to glory. That joy, that elation and excitement, that is what made him, helped him endure the cross. That's amazing. That is chain breaking when you think about it. So this is where we're at here in this situation. If we can get our mind focused on the author and finisher of our faith, and the joy that comes with knowing him and knowing how he loves us and knowing how he provides for us and knowing how he's our healer and knowing all these things about him, that will set us free. Joy is a key, along with faith, to health, peace, and prosperity. All right. The scripture says in Romans 14:17 that the kingdom of God, okay, is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. All right. So where is the kingdom of God? It's in you. The kingdom of God is in you. So in you is righteousness, which is right standing with God. That in itself should give you something to jump up and down about. right standing with God. So in you is right standing with God. In you is peace that passes all understanding, wholeness in you, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because joy and peace, those, they're felt realities. You know, people think, you know, we have to do, everything's by faith, you can never feel anything. God's a very feeling God. And peace is what you need to feel when you're in the midst of a storm. And that elation of joy, knowing that, joy is basically the expectation of faith, right? So faith gets the image, and faith gets what the word says and sees the image, but it's the joy that that image will come to pass because it's the word of God. It's that joy, that elation that anticipates until the answer comes. So it's a key. And the Holy Spirit is the access point. You know, like, okay, so you got those dreams in the Spirit, Louise. You know, the Spirit is the access point. So what happens? She got all excited. You know, she started speaking things out. And why? Why? Because the faith in her for the dream that she had, for what God revealed to her from his word or whatever, all right, brought that elation, that anticipation. Hey, wait a minute. I can take my authority here, right? So it's that joy that sets us free. Just look at verse 10 and 11 again in the Nehemiah 1, Zoe. It says, Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The Amplified says, do not be grieved or depressed, for the joy of the Lord is your strength and stronghold, something to that effect. And the Levites calmed all the people, saying, be still, for this is a secret day to the Lord. What were they saying? Saying, look, don't sorrow, go have a feast. You know, if you're feeling down or you're thinking, I'm never going to get out of this, go celebrate. What are you celebrating? You're not celebrating that you're in a mess. You're not celebrating that, you know, you've been so sick so long. You're celebrating the answer. You're celebrating what's coming. They didn't have a plan. They just were celebrating. Why? It says, because they understood the word. They celebrated. They chose joy because they understood the word. You know, you can choose not to choose joy. You can choose to go with whatever the circumstance is throwing at you. And let me tell you, I've been there. I know a lot of people in this church who've been there. You can imagine, and it's been up very recently, people who have said to me, I could sense a cloud was coming over me, a spirit, and I knew if I gave into it, I'd be on a downhill slide. But I chose to look up. I chose to go with what God says. I chose to just encourage myself in the Lord. There is a choice to celebrate when everything is going wrong. You celebrate in God your Savior. You celebrate in the fact that he's not going to leave you in this mess. So it's at the point that when you celebrate is when you understand what the word is saying to you. When you get that revelation of God's promise, whatever it is, for whatever situation you're going through, it's at that point you celebrate. Because you understand it and you celebrate that God is true to his word. So we're just going to look in these last few moments to Isaiah 54. And we're going to walk through this a little bit because to me, this is the fruitfulness of joy. All right. There's an outcome when you make joy a part of your daily life and you choose joy rather than being depressed, rather than being angry, rather than being fearful or whatever. When you choose joy, there's fruit to it. So let's just stop there and I'll take this very slowly, Zoe, so you just have to follow me there, okay? Sing, O barren, you who have not born. This is a famous, very famous chapter. Sing, O barren, you who have not born. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not labored with child. This is a big thing to say in the Old Testament, let me tell you. For the more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married woman, says the Lord. So the woman here is to choose to celebrate before she's pregnant. Celebrate. Celebrate, you know? You've got way more children than the woman who's already had tons of them. And you're looking, you know, you could think, oh, yeah, right. Where? I can't see them. You see it in here. In your most barren time or barren area, shout with extreme joy to the Lord. That's what that means when it says, if you just back up a second. When it says, sing, O barren, you have not born, break forth into singing and cry aloud. It means to shout with excitement. You know, like, this isn't easy. You have to choose to do this. You know, when you are in a real battle, you know, in your most barren area, shout. Shout, because the fruit's coming. Shout, because the breakthrough's coming. Enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. You know, sometimes you have to physically, mentally, whatever it takes you need to do, you have to prepare for what it is that God's bringing your way. You can't just keep treading, you know, the treadmill. You need to start preparing. God, you know, I believe this is going to happen. What should I do? What should I do? You know, is there something you would like me to do? How can I prepare for this? Prepare my mind, prepare my family. It says, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. Do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. For you will forget the shame of your youth and will not remember the reproach of your widowhood anymore. You got any regrets? We all have them. We all have regrets in life. I should have done this. I shouldn't have done that. Why did I ever go down that path? You know, why did I ever fall into that temptation? You know, we all have regrets. Back to verse 4. But this says, don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. You will forget the shame of your youth. And whatever reproach there was, whatever reproach the world put on you or you put on yourself, you will forget it. Why? Because you choose joy. You choose to celebrate. I am going to celebrate because God set me free from that. I choose not to mourn or regret over that decision or over that failure or over whatever. You know, God is my strength. God is my guidance. God will bring me back to the spot where I need to be. For your maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. Now we're going to jump down to verse 11. O you afflicted one, tossed with tempest and not comforted, I will lay your stones with colorful gems and lay your foundations with sapphire. Tossed and afflicted and tormented. Ever been there? If you say no, that's not true. We get in those times in life when the enemy is railing at us and they're at the door, then we can't push it open because they're just like, oh. You know, and the scripture says, oh, you tossed and afflicted and tormented. Isn't he cute? You tossed and afflicted and tormented? No. He said, I have arrayed you in beautiful gems. I've surrounded you with all these precious jewels. I will make your pinnacles of rubies, your gates of crystal, and all your walls of precious stone. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. Let me tell you, celebrate the victory for your children. Celebrate it. You know, when you're going through a rough time with them, I don't care what it is. Celebrate victory for your children. And times of trial and testing and rough times will come for every child. I don't care who they are because of the world we live in. Right? They will have to come to a point in their life where they make choices, where they cannot hang on their parents' spiritual apron strings anymore. They have to make their choices. But you as parents, you pray them through and you celebrate their victory, even when they miss it. Even when they miss it. You celebrate their victory because, back up, don't move off the verse till I say so. You celebrate their victory because why? It says all your children are taught of the Lord, and great shall be their peace, their wholeness. If you get yourself out of peace and in a knot, that's not going to fix it for them. Right? God's the one who fixes it. Celebrate. Celebrate the fact that that verse is for your kids. Man, if you understand that word, you can celebrate it. You can celebrate it. Praise God. Now you can move on. In righteousness you shall be established. All right, we know that. We're in right standing. You shall be far from oppression. Now, I'm going to say because this is what it means. You shall be far from oppression because you shall not fear. Because you shall not fear. And from terror, for it will not come near you. Let me tell you something. Just like the Holy Spirit is the access point to joy and peace and all these things, fear is the access point to the enemy. I'm telling you, I know so many Christians that live very fearful lives. And this says, you shall be far from oppression for you because you won't fear. Don't expect to not live, I should say it this way, expect to live in oppression if you are going to continue in fear. Because it says you're only going to be far from oppression because you don't fear. And fear, let me tell you, is a choice as well. When you give the thief that access point with fear, when you believe the lie, you empower the lie. When you believe the lie, you empower the lie. Why is that? Because he has no power. So you are actually coming into agreement with him and giving him authority to wreak havoc in your life. Don't blame God. Because he says, choose to celebrate. Choose to celebrate. You shall not fear. When you agree with the enemy, you empower him and you believe and you give him that authority. Next verse. Indeed, I always love this verse. Indeed, this is God speaking, they shall surely assemble, all these demonic things that are at the door. They shall assemble. Mark my words, he's saying. They're coming. But not because of me. Not because of me. You know, some people still like to think even all the lousy things that are happening in the world is because it's God's judgment. No, 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 no. It's not time for God's judgment. It's time for his grace. He wants to get people in. He's saying when these things happen to you, they're going to happen, but not because of me. I didn't do it. Whoever assembles against you shall fall for your sake. Next verse. Behold, I have created the blacksmith who blows the coals in the fire, and I'm sure he, you know, just hated the day he made the angelic evil one, who brings forth an instrument for his work, and I have recreated the spoiler to destroy. But verse 17, here's the classic. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. We've heard testimony to that. You shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. Your inheritance is to condemn the voices that torment you. You're never going to win. You're never going to get ahead. You're never going to get better. Your kids are going to go off the deep end. It is your inheritance to condemn the voices that come against you. It's your inheritance. Like, those testimonies have really encouraged me, Louise, because I believe it needs to encourage the body. All right? Needs to encourage the body. She rose up and took that word with her authority, which is her inheritance, to condemn the voices. You know, we just lay around and we get too mamsy-pamsy about it, you know? We get too laid back and we just think, oh, you know, this is what I have to put up with, you know, and just, oh, yeah, well, I'll endure for a little longer. No, no, no. Man, we got to be a people who stand up, take our stand and our authority and celebrate the victory that God's given us. Celebrate the victory that's coming. Celebrate the victory that's already happened, because he sees the end from the beginning. You know, we win. We win. Joy. Have a joyful heart. Exuberation because of who God is and what he will do for you. And just two verses to close up. 3 John, verse 2. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health. How? Just as your soul prospers. A prospering soul equals a joyful heart. Just as your soul prospers. Health, prosperity, like we said earlier, all comes from that joy that's within and your soul being at peace and at rest, because your soul is trusting in the Lord. And the last scripture, James 1:21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. You know, if you have a battle with fear, find the implanted word, because it's able to save your soul, and meditate on it. Meditate on it. If you're having trouble being joyful in the Lord, just get out the scriptures. You know, I think it was with fear, it was like 365 times at least in the Bible we're told to fear not. That's one for every day. Okay? Joy is mentioned numerous times in the Bible. Numerous. Or a description of joy, you know. Gladness, sometimes it's come with gladness or whatever. But it's a fruit of the Spirit that is within you. And let me tell you, this morning, we're gonna stand up and finish now. And we're going to finish with that first song, if we can. Whatever it is you're facing, we're going to stand up, we're going to praise the Lord today, and I want you to just cast that onto him, and with joy and excitement and jubilation, let's sing and just sing it away. Sing whatever that anxiety is, whatever that cloud is that's trying to overpower you or whatever. Just sing it away and shout for victory for your joy this morning. Amen. For your answer.